Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
These are the generations of Shem. This is not giving us how the world was overspread. This is coming to Shem and his descendants primarily, because this is going to bring us down to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and of the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 patriarchs and the nation whom it pleased God to manifest his right, his sovereignty, his providence, to choose a people to set his love upon. When all men were sinners, all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and his Son, Jesus Christ, would come into the world and save all the Father gave him. Let me go very quickly, because my mind went there, to Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul speaking of his brethren in the flesh, meaning those in Jerusalem. I'm going to start, and you can read the whole thing to get the fullness of it. I will start in verse 7, speaking of Jews. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children of Abraham, of God. But Isaac was the promised seed. We'll see that promised seed again. And God's people, Christ would save those people. He's talking about Judea. He says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. What's he saying? Every one of Israel is not God's child, okay? But in Isaac, every son of Abraham is not God's child. But in Isaac, the promised seed, that promised seed was Christ, and the seed of Christ, which are his children, Jew and Gentile alike, born in the world today, born of the Spirit of God. That is, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. Catch this plainly. These are not the children of God. What is he saying? He's saying just because they're seed of Abraham, the Jews gave great pride. We be Abraham's seed. God saying through the Holy Spirit, just because you're Abraham's seed does not mean you're my children. God chose that nation to manifest his power, to manifest his glory, to manifest his love. But just because you are the seed of Abraham, just because you're the seed of Isaac, just because you came forth from the loins of Israel does not make you a child of God. What makes you a child of God is being elect from before the foundation of the world, being a seed of God, the seed of Christ, the promised seed, the Father promised the Son. He said, they which are of the children of the flesh, the natural lineage of Abraham, these are not the children of God. Is that plain enough? But the children of the promise. Where is that promise? In Isaac. Where is that promise? In Christ. What did Jesus say? All the Father giveth me shall come unto me. All that God promised to the Son in the covenant made before the world was, in the omniscience of God, in the love of God, in the power and providence and purpose of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. He's going to speak of Jacob and Esau, but he's going to speak of Abraham too. At this time will I come, and Sarah, that is Sarai, I'm going to mention her in a moment, God would change her name to Sarah. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, that's even by our father Isaac, verse 11, plain, in parentheses, giving us the purpose and the providence of Almighty God. The only way to salvation for the children being not yet born. Well, I've been such a good man, I know I stand with Christ in heaven. Read the Bible. For the children being not yet born. Well, you've got to accept him. You've got to receive him. You've got to work yourself there. You've got to earn it. You've got to buy it, whatever way is taught in the world. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election, the chosen of God, might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. calleth. The text is referring to Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated. This teaches us that God loved Jacob before Jacob ever was in the loins of his father, before the world was ever even created. For what? For the purpose of God according to election. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, the eternal purpose of God in Jesus Christ, that God would have a people who would worship Him, who would live with Him, who would see Him, who would walk with Him and dwell with Him forever. What's it about? It's about the purpose of God. What's it about? The election of grace. That is the only way we have salvation, by the hand of God, by the power of God. Now let's go back to the text. Well, let me give you one more. For He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on him on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God has mercy upon whom God chooses to have mercy. And let's go back to the text of Abraham and Eber. We see the generations of Shem, the years they live. Verse 14 of Genesis 11. And Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. Proof text, this is Hebrews. And Selah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. Remember, he was born in the days of when God confounded their language and scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. Let me give you another point of election. Let me give you another text to study regarding election and the providence of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, written by the hand of Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Each and every punctuation, each and every word. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. Moses speaking to the nation of Israel as they were about to come out of the wilderness, and God was going to lead them by the hand of Joshua into the promised land. Remember the days of old. Verse 7. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High, verse 8, when the Most High, that is God in heaven, divided to the nations their inheritance. When is that? Right back over here when God confounded their language because of the Tower of Babel and the wickedness of their hearts, and they all had one tongue and could communicate, and God confounded their language and scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. God's purpose is God's purpose. They would scatter. They would populate the earth regardless of what they wanted, regardless of what they thought, regardless of their rebellion against God. God is a God of purpose, and God purposed it. He confounded their language, and they spread, and the earth was overpopulated. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations, the sons of Adam, he's going to say, their inheritance in the world, when he separated the sons of Adam, when he confounded their language and scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. Here's my point regarding election. He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Even that dividing asunder had a benefit to the children of God. All his ways are just and judgment. He is God. Everything he does is in perfect harmony at his time. You want a New Testament verse referencing that? Acts 17, verse 24, Paul preaching, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He doesn't need me to build a house. He doesn't need me to preach the gospel to populate heaven that is in the blood of Christ. I can give life to no one at all. I cannot give life to myself. My nature is dead in sin and rebellion against God. Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he said, needeth anything. God doesn't need to populate glory. God populates glory. It's his purpose. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, referring back to Genesis 11, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, cut us, we bleed red. Doesn't matter who you are, what gender, what age, what race, we bleed red. all nations, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. He set apart the bounds of their habitation. He set the times appointed according to, what did he say in Deuteronomy 32? According to the number of the children of Israel, the times before appointed are the time of Israel and the law of service and the kingdom of God in that day. And now the time we have today, the kingdom of grace, when every child of God is brought in by the Spirit of God, brought into the kingdom, and God sends ministers out in the four corners of the earth to gather His elect into the kingdom of God, meaning the assembly of the saints in the world, the church. Those that God calls to worship Him in spirit and truth. That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Let's go back to the text. Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. The earth was divided. Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begat Serug. And Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. Here we go. Here is proof of the beginning of the Hebrew nation, of the Hebrew people. And Nahor lived 9 and 20 years and begat Terah. Nahor is the father of Terah. He is the grandfather of Abraham, the Hebrew. Isaac, the Hebrew. Jacob, the Hebrew. The 12 tribes of Israel, Hebrew. These Hebrews, they were called in a derogatory sense. Man has always had words for each other in a derogatory sense. History proves us that Eber was the father of the Hebrews. We see the lineage physically in the world. But let me tell you this. It has absolutely nothing to do with the seed of Christ. That is in the choice, the election of grace and the blood of the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And Nahor lived after begat Terah 119 years, begat sons and daughters, and Terah lived 70 years, and begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran, brothers. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram. The name means exalted father. By the purpose of God, by the providence of God, unlike these other two men, unlike all the other men in the world, we see Abram, exalted father. Abram had nothing to do with this. You have absolutely nothing to do with eternal life. I have absolutely nothing to do with eternal life. It is a gift of God in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, given to those God chose in His providence, in His purpose, and promised to the Son, and the Son accepted and would die for them in this covenant that was made, was sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. God favored Abram. God exalted Abram because it pleased God to do so. Well, it's not fair. It don't have to be fair. Shall the clay say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Time out. God did not create sin. God did not ordain sin. God did not make Adam to sin. God did not make these men sinners. That all came by one man, Adam. God left these men right exactly where they were in Adam, but God loved Abram. God chose to love Abram. Just as if you love God, He chose to love you. That covenant was made before the world was, and Christ came to this world 2,000 years ago, roughly, and died to save us from our sins. God chose to have blessings, love upon Abram, exalted father. And then we say Nahor and Haran begat Lot. Remember Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. This was a land in idolatry. This was a land in rebellion against God. That is the nature of man. That is where Abram was. Abram, Josephus says that he was an astrologer. John Gill says he was an astrologer. Hassel says he was an astrologer. There's one difference between the two preachers and the Jew. Because the Jew, if you've ever read Josephus, the historian's writings are all written by the mind of a natural man. While the history itself is true, and I believe his above others because he was closer to the time and closer to the fact, and what was given to him had been handed down through Moses for years and generations. Josephus says that Abram was a man of astrology, very wise in astrology, and in his goodness, the way he words it, that Abram taught others of God, saying that the sun and moon and the stars, as great as they are, if they were of themselves, would rule over heaven and earth, but they are there, and they are where they are, because one greater than them created them and placed them there, and therefore there is one God, and it is not the sun, and it is not the moon, and it is not the stars, which men still worship today. Turn on the TV. It's of the one God. But we find in other writings, and I agree with Hassel and Gill, at the time, because you see Josephus paints Abram as a good man from the days of his birth. And we, being blessed of the Holy Spirit of God, no different. That we're conceived in sin, that we're shapen in iniquity. We come forth from the womb screaming and crying rebellion against God. That is our nature. To be apart from God, rebel against God, and to hate God. That is our nature. Yet God loved us. The other two, Hassel and Gill, speak of Abram as living in a land of idolatry. I full well believe he probably thought that the sun and moon and stars were their own gods, like everyone else in idolatry, and all the idols that were made unto them, until what we're going to see in just a moment, when God spoke to Abram. And God gave him life, and he was born of the Spirit of God. God wrote His law upon his inward parts. Remember, Abram had absolutely nothing to do with this. You have absolutely nothing to do with eternal life or the knowledge of God. You cannot know Him. You cannot see Him. You cannot come to Him of your own nature. It is God. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Period. Cut and dried. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What do we get out of that? The Lord. The salvation is of the Lord. Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, near the Chaldees, a land taken in idolatry. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, a half-sister. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah. They were both cousins. The daughter of Haran, his brother. The father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren and had no child. Time out. Let's dwell on that just a minute. God created the world from absolutely nothing. Sarai's womb was dead and barren. It could not bear life. Man cannot give life. The angels nor Satan cannot give life. Life comes from God. God promised the seed to Sarai. God put life in that womb. that is in Christ, the life we have. And she brought forth the promised seed, Isaac, one child. That's not alone. Let's go to Rebekah. Rebekah, whose womb was barren, and God gave it life. And we see Esau, and we see Jacob. That's another time. But my point is, God put the life there. Well, brother, that's the Old Testament. Okay, let's go New Testament. Let's go to Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias, the mother of John the Baptist. And let's see her empty womb with them both old. And could not bear child. And God put life in that dead, empty womb. You want to know what we were? Dead, empty, vain, void, dead in sins. And God gave life, the beauty of Ephesians 2:1, and you have He quickened, God, while you were dead in trespassing sins. That's not the last one. We see the Virgin Mary never touched by a man, overpowered by the Holy Ghost, and bringing forth the very Christ child, the anointed, the Son of God, in the flesh. Now, Sarai was barren and had no child. And Terah, Abraham's father, took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. They left Ur of the Chaldees, they came into Haran. You can find this in John chapter 4, a tie to this, as they were there baptizing, and there was a well there, was Jacob gave to their fathers. And there's a woman there called the woman at the well. And the very Son of God, the living Word, the Son of Man Himself, they're speaking to her. It says they were in the land and said He must needs go through Samaria. The same land. The same people. And Christ revealed Himself to her. Listen, if you think you had anything to do with knowing God, you go read John chapter 4. That woman was there talking to the very Son of God Himself, the Son of God, the Son of Man. She had a conversation with them. He told her things about her that nobody that herself knew. I perceive thou a prophet. She didn't know He's the Son of God until she said, I know that Messiah cometh. And then Christ spoke to her, I am He. Then, and only then, did she know who He was. That's the same way that we know. God saves in one way. He doesn't save an old man one way and a babe in the womb another. He doesn't save a retarded child one way. He doesn't save somebody in a heathen nation that's never heard the gospel in another way. God saves one way. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, death, burial, resurrection, and He gives this knowledge to us when He writes His law upon our inward parts, our heart. That is the work. That is the hand of God. Remember that as we go forth in this text. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. They've come from Ur to Haran. Now the Lord had said, what's that telling me? That's telling me the Lord had said unto Abram, the exalted father. We've already covered the name. That tells us he was exalted of God. Therefore, he stands in the election of grace, chosen of God before the foundation of the very world. God said unto Abram. Let me give you an example. Moses was there on the backside of the desert. He looked up on the mount. He saw a bush that burned and was not consumed. That bush in that dry land should have been burned up a long time ago. I think I'll go see why it's not burned up. That's the nature of man. He goes up and a voice speaks to him from the bush. I believe it's in Micah where he says the angel that spoke to him But the point is, when he got up to that bush that burned and wasn't consumed, it will burn because it was the glory of God in Christ in that bush. The angel that spoke to him is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's no other way to know God. There's no other way to see God but in Christ. And God said unto Abram, just like he did there with Moses, he said, "Loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thy standeth is holy ground." Brethren, if you're here hearing the gospel by the Holy Spirit of God today, you're on holy ground. Not old Israel, but New Testament Israel, a spiritual Israel, because God blesses you. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, God gave him life, God spoke to him, God gave him knowledge of Christ. Get thee out of thy country. Leave your country. Leave Chaldees. Leave Haran. Unto a land that I will show thee. Many today, just like the old Jew, lay all that goodness to Abraham, made a decision, made a choice. He decided to walk with God. He did this, he did the other. Let me give you a proof text that that's not true. By faith, 11 Hebrews verse 8. Abraham, how do we have faith? It is a gift of God. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The natural man hath not faith. God giveth to every man a measure of faith, and all men have not faith. So let's rightly divide those two verses of Scripture. Who are all the men that God giveth faith? Everyone born of the Spirit of God. Everyone that knows God. Who are they? They are the elect of God from before the foundation of the world. The natural man has not faith because he knows not God. You can't have faith in something you don't know. And God hath not revealed himself unto them. By faith, Abraham. He's got faith. He's born of the Spirit of God. God spoke to him. God gave him life. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Why? Because it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Because God works that in us. God gives you a heart of flesh. God gives you a heart of love. God gives you a heart that desires to know Him, to serve Him, to love Him, to honor Him, to adore Him more and more and more. And so he went out, not knowing where he went. He didn't know where he was going. He just knew God sent him. And he was to be led of God. And he went because he's born of the Spirit of God. Back to the text. The Lord had said unto Abram, exalted father. And he's going to change his name to Abraham, which means a father of many nations. God says to Abram, get thee out of thy country. Let me touch on this. God said unto Abram, much debate, not important. Was this in a dream? Was this in a vision? Was this maybe like Moses and something in nature that was odd? Let me tell you something. God manifested Himself to His people in the Son of God, pre-incarnate, many times in the Old Testament. Genesis 17, he sat with Abraham. It says, the Lord, proper name. And two men, angels, sat with Abraham in the tent in the heat of the day. Joshua chapter 6, I believe, the pre-incarnate Son of God, living Word of God, was there before Joshua. Well, it was so sweet and precious. The Lord ain't never hurt nobody. He had a sword in His hand. Joshua said, who art thou? Art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, I am the captain of the Lord's host, Christ Jesus. The same Jesus Christ that was in the bush that burned and was not consumed. The same Jesus Christ pre-incarnate that walked with Adam in the garden before sin. They saw Him pre-incarnate. We live in the household of faith. We see by God within us. We have a knowledge within us of Christ. Faith. One day when we leave this world, we will not have faith anymore because we will dwell with Christ in His presence and see Him as He is. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is in Christ. When we see Him, we don't need faith. And I will make of thee a great nation. That's Israel. And I will bless thee, Abram, the man. Again, what God will do with one man. And make thy name great. The Jews all love being descendants of Abraham. Of Abram, whom God would change to Abraham. We be Abraham's seed. His name was great among the Jews. Let me tell you why He's great in our mind today. Why He's great to us today. Galatians 3. I think verse 7. I'll go with verse 5 for place to start. He therefore that ministered to you by the Spirit. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same as the children of Abraham. Abraham's great in our eyes because we're children of Abraham by faith. Everyone that believes, Abraham is our father. God manifests him as being the believer that God brought into the promised land and drove the inhabitants out and gave to him. So Abraham is great in our mind for that. He's got a great name to us because of that. Because in the way of being a believer, we are seed of Abraham. Doesn't mean Abraham's perfect. That's the rest of the blessings before we get into that. Maybe I have time. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. You see what God does for His people? I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee, here's pointing to Abraham, exalted father or father of many nations. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. But we start last week from every tongue, kindred, tongue, people and nation, all families of the earth be blessed. That's not talking about blood. Did we not start in Romans 9? That's not talking about blood or flesh. It's talking about Christ and the Spirit of God and believing on God because God has revealed Himself to us in giving us life. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let me get through this. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. They obeyed God and came in not knowing where they were going, but knowing that God led them. Brethren, that is faith. It is a gift of God. It does not matter where we go or what we face in this world. God is with us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God cannot lie. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Shechem and the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thee will I give this land. And there, what did he do? What did Noah do? What are we to do as children of God? And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. We are to worship God. That is our purpose in this dark, sinful earth. Is to worship our God who loved us and saved us and gave us a home far away from this world of sin and death. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Where does our help come from? The Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going still on toward the south. He's moving on through the land. God said, come into this land. Go! And there was a famine in the land. Now this, I want to get to this part before I sit down. We've got 10 minutes. Abraham is the father of man of faith. Abraham believed God. But if you don't think Abraham is a sinner, you read this next text. We're all sinners. The Bible does not hide that fact from us, and it's going to manifest to us the glory of God, the power of God, the grace of God overriding our sin as it does with Abraham here. Because Abraham was a sinner, or Abram as he's still being called. There was a famine in the land. He's in a place that God led him to. He's in a place God told him to go. Come out from your country. Come over here. And I'll give this land to you. Well, they get over there and times start getting hard. They're a little bit hungry. There's a famine in the land. I'm pretty sure they were very, very hungry. There's a famine in the land. There's nothing to eat. And faith begins to waver sometimes with flesh, doesn't it? There was a famine in the land and Abram went down into Egypt. You notice where you go? Do you notice where you go? Egypt represents sin and death and depravity. And Egypt represents the world. There was a famine in the land, and Abraham's going to leave the land that God said, come into this land that I will show thee. I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I will bless thee and curse those that curse thee, and I'll bless them that bless thee. Well, he got hungry. There was a famine in the land. And Abram went down. We're always sinking when we leave the kingdom. Where I was sinking when we're going to the world. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, to stay a while. For the famine was grievous in the land. There's no doubt this was hard. Sometimes we face things in life that seem difficult, that seem like we can't come out of it, we can't overcome it, and without the grace of God, we most certainly would not. But God is God that created the heaven and the earth, and God delivers His people daily. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he said unto Sarai, his wife and half-sister, he's not lying when he does this. See, Abram's studying this. He says, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife. But they will kill me. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. You're a beautiful woman. You're unlike their women. You look different than their women. You're very shapely. You're very comely. Although you are 65 years old, you're a very beautiful woman. You've never had a child. Tell them you're my sister, not my wife, because they'll kill me to have you. Well, she was his half-sister. It's not a lie, but it shows great cowardice and even more so great a lack of faith in God. So I pray thee, thou art my sister. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me. There's human nature again. Me, myself, I, narcissist. Confusion for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. You tell them to lie, they won't kill me. Not much regard there for Sarah, is there? Sarai. Not much regard there for the love of his life. Me. This is mankind's nature. Abram was no different. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. This is a very beautiful woman, King Pharaoh. By the way, he's said to be the first Pharaoh, which makes sense since the world is being repopulated and his realm had just been settled by the sons of Ham. This is a very beautiful woman. She's not married, King. She's single. I don't know how Abraham lived with that. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and committed her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. She was brought into his house. The heathen say, the heathen, those that know not God and would defile God's people, say Pharaoh took her to marry. The Bible does not say that, and I do not believe he did, because I believe God kept her as he did and does his people. He took her into Pharaoh's house because she was so beautiful. And she's the sister of this man. Pharaoh entreated Abram well for her sake. People talk about Abraham and all the things he owned and how God blessed him. You want to talk about this righteous man, this good man? And he was a righteous man. But we're all sinners. Whether we're Japheth, whether we're Ham, whether we're Shem, we're all sinners. You be my sister so they don't kill me. He entreated Abram well for her sake. He gave Abram many possessions. He tells us what they were. The king of Mizraim, Pharaoh, gave Abram sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. Let's go back 100 years in this world and this nation. Can we say dowry? Can we say he was preparing to marry her because of her beauty? But once again, God will not forsake his people. No, not even one. What's the next verse? And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah's, Abraham's wife. God put a stop to that quickly, did he not? All sorts of speculation, whether Pharaoh's magicians and all his soothsayers came up and said, this is happening because of the woman and all this. It doesn't matter. That's speculation. The point is, whether we know what caused it or not, God works. And God sent plagues upon Pharaoh. And what was the result? Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her, me to wife? It tells me he hadn't already. Stay with the Bible. Now therefore behold thy wife, take her and go away. You see what's happened? Do you see what happened? Do you see what happens to us daily being born again children of God who seek to worship God and please our Lord and know Him and love Him and adore Him more and better each day? Flesh gets in the way. Satan gets in the way. The world comes up. Satan comes up. Persecutions come up. All the effects of our death nature in Adam, as long as we live in this body, are going to come up. And Abraham, you can't tell me that was in faith that he did that to Sarai. I won't have it. But he had faith. We all falter. We all fail. And God in Christ, in every one of our failings, brings us through it, picks us up. He might bust our britches. I've been busted many a time. I used to think my daddy and my granddaddy said, whoop me. But I'm going to tell you, when the Lord gets a hold of your heart, there ain't nothing that hurts like disappointing my Savior. That's why David said, I have sinned against thee and thee only. What a heartbreak. But God, in spite, delivers each and every time in His time. It may be death that delivers, but death is the greatest release of all, because he that is dead is freed from sin. And to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and he sent them away, and his wife, and all that he had.